I want you to open your Bibles with me today to the book of Romans. I'm going to be bringing a message from the first chapter of Romans, Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Now, my subject today is God's preacher. God's preacher. These first six verses of Romans chapter 1 identifies four things for us. And you can remember these four things. This will make the message a little easier for you to remember and to, I believe, understand. The first thing that Paul deals with in verse 1 is God's preacher. He tells us about God's preacher, the man whom God has called and sent to preach his gospel. And then in the second chapter, he talks about God's gospel. The gospel that that preacher preaches. And then in verse 3 and 4, he talks about God's Redeemer, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verses 5, 4, and 5, he talks about God's people, the people of God. Now, did you hear me? Listen carefully. We're going to look, first of all, at God's preacher. Now, Romans chapter 1, verse 1, we'll go through verse 7, 1 through 7. And we'll see, first of all, God's preacher. And secondly, God's gospel. And thirdly, God's Savior. And fourthly, God's people. Now, this will be interesting. I know it'll be a blessing to you. So, you listen carefully to the message. Now, here in verse 1, Paul begins this way. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Now, here's God's preacher. Paul, called to be an apostle, a bond slave of Jesus Christ, separated to the gospel of God. Now, first of all, he calls himself Paul. God's servants are not interested in titles. He doesn't call himself Reverend Paul or Dr. Paul or Father Paul or Bishop Paul. He just calls himself Paul because he's not interested in titles and he's not interested in recognition by men. It came to John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, and they said, are you the Christ? He said, no. They said, oh, well, are you Elijah? He said, no. Are you that prophet? He said, no. Well, who are you? Now, he could have identified himself in several ways. He could have said, well, I was supernaturally born when my mother and father were both old, very old. I was promised of God. I'm the forerunner of the Messiah. And even the Messiah himself said that none born of women are greater than I am. He could have said all these things, but when they said, who are you? He said, I'm a voice. I'm a voice crying in the wilderness, make path, make the straight path, prepare the way of the Lord. Not worthy, Paul said, to be called an apostle. Less than the least of all the saints, he said on one occasion, and the chief of sinners. So Paul, no titles, no recognition, just Paul. And then secondly, he said, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. We're the servants of Jesus Christ. We're the servants of His people. The apostle said on another occasion, he said, we preach not ourselves. We're not the subject. We preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified and ourselves, your servants, for Christ's sake. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. And this word servant, you know what it actually is? It's the word bondslave. Over in Exodus chapter 21, we have the story of the bond slave. Exodus chapter 21. Back in the Hebrew days, if a man was taken into slavery, he may owe a great debt and can't pay it. Or he may be very poor and has to give himself over to be a slave or whatever. But they could only keep a slave for 6 years. And on the seventh year, he could go free. 6 years he served. And when the seventh year came, then all the slaves were free to go. But this particular man, the scripture says, if he loves his master and loves his master's house and wants to continue to be a servant, a willing, loving servant, willingly, lovingly, because he wishes to. Then they take him down to the temple and bore a hole in his ear. And he's then a bondslave, a willing, loving bondslave. And that's what Paul is saying here. This is God's preacher. No titles, not seeking recognition. And he says, I'm a bondslave. I'm a servant of Jesus Christ, a willing, loving servant of the Son of God and a servant of his people. And then thirdly, he said that I'm called to be an apostle. Now, in the church of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Scripture says there are apostles, and there are prophets, and there are missionaries, and there are pastors and teachers. But all of these have one thing in common. They're all called of God. They're called of God to be an apostle, called of God to be a prophet, called of God to be a missionary, called of God to be a pastor. Someone may ask me, well, preacher, can you describe that call? No, I'm sorry, I cannot. I just cannot. I can't tell you what a call to the ministry actually is like. Some people may be able to. I cannot. But I think Paul described it best this way. He said, God put me in the ministry. Supernaturally, mysteriously, God opened the door. God gave me the message. God gave me the gifts. God sent me on this particular mission. God gave me a stewardship. God gave me a dispensation. I didn't seek it. I didn't volunteer for it. I didn't covet it. It's like John Gill said, I neither sought it, thought it, nor bought it. But God put me in the ministry, called of God to be a preacher of the gospel. Now watch this. Paul said, he's identifying God's preacher. He said, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called of God, called of God, supernaturally, mysteriously called of God and sent to his people with his message. And he said, I'm separated unto the gospel of God. Now listen, the ministry is God's ministry, not ours. I hear people talk about their ministry. I really don't have a ministry. It's God's ministry. I'm in the ministry. I'm in the ministry of God. And so are you. All believers are in the ministry. All believers, all children of God are in the ministry. You see, as the body is one and has many members, so the church is one body. It has many members. Christ is the head, but we're all members of the body. We're all in the ministry of our Lord. We're all accomplishing His purpose and His will and His glory and serving His purpose. Everybody's in the ministry. We all serve God in this great house of our Lord. We're different vessels, but we all serve Him. We're all in the ministry. But the pastor-teacher, the missionary, is called to minister the Word of God. He has one calling. He has one goal. He has one obsession. He has one supreme love. And that is the gospel. Paul said, I'm separated to the gospel. I'm obsessed with the gospel. My one objective is to glorify God in the preaching of His gospel. You see, back in the book of Acts, chapter 6, there arose a problem in the early church. There was some kind of problem about the distribution of food and supplies and things of this nature. And Peter called the people together, and he said, Peter and the other apostles, and he said, now, it's not right for we preachers, pastors, God's servants, preachers, to leave the Word of God and wait on tables. You look out among you seven men of good report, good reputation, integrity, filled with the Holy Spirit, and appoint them over this business. And we'll give ourselves to the ministry of the Word and to prayer. Now that's God's preacher's goal and objective and obsession. He's separated to the gospel. And if he's not separated to the gospel, then he's a misfit. If he tries to do anything else or be anything else, he's a failure at both. God's preacher, a servant of Christ, a bondslave of Jesus Christ, called of God, sent of God, and separated to the gospel. All right. Now notice in verse 2. Here's that gospel that God's servant preaches. Here's that gospel. Separated. Now watch this. The last part of verse 1 says, I'm separated to the gospel of God, the gospel of God, which he promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scripture. Verse 3, concerning his son. Are you listening? Here's that gospel. It's identified in a threefold way. Paul says, I'm separated to the gospel of God. It's God's gospel. It's not the gospel according to men. It's the gospel of God. In 1 Timothy 1, Paul called it the gospel of his glory, the gospel of God's glory, the glorious gospel of God. And this is a test of a man's gospel. Who does it glorify? If it glorifies men, if it glorifies him, if it glorifies you, then it's certainly not God's gospel, because God's gospel is the gospel of the glory of God. So when Paul defines his gospel, he said, I'm a preacher. I'm separated to the gospel. And that gospel, first of all, is God's gospel. He's the author of that gospel. He planned it. He purposed it before the foundation of the world, clear back in the council halls of eternity. God purposed this gospel. For Jesus Christ is the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And God's elect were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. So he purposed it. And he, not only did he purpose it, but God is God executes this gospel. In the fullness of time, God sent his son into the world. He sent his son. He purposed to send him, and he sent him. And not only did he send him into the world, but he sent him to the cross. Because it says it pleased God to bruise him. It pleased God to make you his people. It pleased God to make Christ our surety. It pleased God that in Christ should all fullness dwell. It pleased God to bruise him. And then God applies the gospel. When it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, to call me by his gospel and reveal to me his son. God applies this gospel. It's his gospel. He purposed it. He executes it. He applies it. And he sustains it. For the scripture says he's able to save them that come to God by him. He's able to keep them. He's able to present them faultless before his throne of glory. And he's able to raise their vile bodies and make them like his own. It's God's gospel. And then secondly, it's the ancient gospel. We don't preach a new gospel. We don't preach a gospel of this generation. We preach a gospel that goes back to Abel. Abel brought a lamb and sacrificed that lamb as a blood offering for sin. Abraham, Christ said, saw my day. He rejoiced to see it. He believed, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Oh, they said, we have Moses. Christ said, if you'd have believed Moses, you'd have believed me. Moses wrote of me. This is Moses' gospel, you see. I'm separated to the gospel of God, which he promised by his prophets, Abraham, Moses, Jacob, David. One gospel. It's the gospel he promised in the Holy Scriptures. It's the gospel he prophesied in the Holy Scriptures. It's the gospel he pictured from the Passover lamb all the way to the cross. One gospel. Now watch this. Carefully now. Stay with me. God's preacher. And the gospel God's preacher preaches, separated to the gospel of God, the gospel which he promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. And it's the gospel, underscore this, verse 3, concerning his son. The gospel is concerning his son. The gospel has nothing to do with who you are or who I am. The gospel is concerning who Christ is. That's what the gospel's all about. It's concerning his son, who he is. The gospel has nothing to do with what you or I do. The gospel concerns what he did, who he is, and what he did. He came into the world. He took upon himself the likeness of our flesh. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He bore our sins in His body. He died and was buried and rose for our justification. He ascended to the right hand of God, where He ever lives to make intercession for us. The gospel is concerning His Son. The gospel has nothing to do with what you and I think. The gospel concerns God's thoughts and His acceptance of Christ's work for us. He said He has appointed a day in which He's going to judge the world by that man Jesus Christ, whom He hath appointed. Whom He hath appointed. And He gave this evidence of the acceptance of Christ. He raised Him from the dead. It's what God thinks. It's God accepting Christ in your place. It's not what you do or what you think about what Christ. God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. It's not what you think of the blood. Well, I just don't think that's right. It's not what you think. Well, I just don't believe that's the only way. It's not what you believe. You see, the gospel's not concerning who you are and what you do and what you think. It concerns His Son. It's concerning who He is. And what He did. And how God looks upon Him. We're accepted in the Beloved. When God accepts Christ, He accepts us. Our forerunner has entered within the veil and has sat down. And God accepted him and us in him. Gospel has nothing to do with where you are. It concerns where He is. Do you see that? This is what the great preacher John Flavel preached in his message, Method of Grace. He said, everything that a holy, righteous, almighty God has for a sinner like you and me is in Christ Jesus. And that those riches and spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus become ours by a union with Christ. God never looks upon us for acceptance and looks upon us for agreement, or looks upon us for righteousness. He looks on His Son. And our union with Him, He's the heir, we're joint heirs. You see, He's accepted and we're accepted in Him. God looks upon Him. And that union with Christ comes by faith. And that faith comes by hearing the Word of God and believing it. You see that? God's preacher. God's preacher. A simple man. God's preacher, a servant. God's preacher separated to the gospel. And that gospel is the gospel of God. The gospel of His glory. The gospel of His grace. That gospel is concerning His Son. And it's the same gospel that Moses and Abraham and David and Jacob and all the other Old Testament prophets believed and preached. Now, let's look at the person. He said here in verse 3 and 4, it's the gospel concerning His Son, who was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and who was declared to be the Son of God with power. Now, these two things are so important. How is He identified? It said He was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and He was declared to be the Son of God. One day our Lord was being questioned by these religious Pharisees, lawyers and Sadducees and other members of the Jewish court in Sanhedrin. They asked Him several things, and finally when He answered all of their questions and they just were ready to leave Him alone, He said, wait, I have a question. I have a question. What think ye of the Christ? What think ye of the Messiah? Whose son is He? Whose son is the Christ? Now, all these fellows knew the Christ was coming. If you ask an Orthodox Jew today about the Messiah, chances are he'll say, we're still looking for the Messiah. We're still looking for the Christ. He was promised through the whole Old Testament. Well, He said to these Pharisees, now, who is the Christ? What think ye of the Christ? And they answered, He's the Son of David. The Christ is the Son of David. That's what Scripture says. He'll be the seed of woman. He'll be of the lineage of Abraham through his son Isaac. He'll be of the tribe of Judah, born in Bethlehem. He'll be of the root of Jesse. and he'll be the son of David. And they answered truly, he's the son of David. You remember blind Bartimaeus said, O thou son of David, have mercy on me. And these Pharisees said to Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ will be the son of David. And then he said to them, then why did David call him Lord? For David said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. And they couldn't answer him. And here's what Jesus of Nazareth is saying to them. How can he be David's son and David's Lord? How can the same man be David's God and David's son? Here it is right here. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God concerning his son, which he promised before in the Old Testament scriptures, concerning his son, who was made of the seed of David, the son of David, according to the flesh. Jesus Christ in the flesh was a Jew, son of David, son of Jesse, tribe of Judah, from Abraham, seed of woman, but declared to be the Son of God. He was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. He was declared. He wasn't made the Son of God. He was already the Son of God. And he was declared to be the Son of God. This Savior, this Messiah, this Redeemer is the seed of David according to the flesh and the Son of God. Declared to be the Son of God. Now, this is essential, and this is what John's Gospel deals with. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself. Paul said, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of the angels, preached to the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. You see, in order to be our Savior, in order to redeem us, Christ in the flesh had to honor the law. God's law must be honored. God's law must be honored, and God's justice must be satisfied. Well, I can't honor the law, neither can you. We're sinners. We're sinners. We may admire God's law and respect God's law and even love God's law, but to fulfill God's law is a whole different matter. But Christ did perfectly as a man. The Son of God in human flesh. The Son of God and the Son of Man in one. Perfect man and perfect God. And He honored that law and He satisfied justice. He's the only one who can die and raise Himself. He said, I lay down my life. No man takes my life. Someday I'm going to die and you're going to die. But we're not going to lay down our lives. We're not going to decide when we're going to die and how we're going to die, are we? He did. He gave up. He gave up the ghost. He laid down His life. And He raised Himself by His own power from the grave. He's the Son of God. This gospel's concerning the Son of God, who was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, born of a woman, and declared to be the Son of God, which He is by right, which He is by essence and equality, one with God. I am a Father, one. Now, watch the people of God. Paul's the preacher. I believe I'm a preacher of God, called to be an apostle, a preacher, not an apostle, but a preacher, separated to the gospel of God. The gospel concerning His Son. Concerning Christ, made of the seed of David and declared to be the Son of God. Now, here are the people of God. In verse 5, 6, listen. By Christ we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for His sake, among whom you also are the called of Christ Jesus. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here are God's people. First of all, they have received grace. By Christ, they have received grace. It's all in Him. Grace, grace, grace. God's grace Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was lost, but now I'm found. By God's grace, I'm free. By His grace, I see. All right. Secondly, these people not only have received grace, but they're obedient to the faith. They believe Him. They love Him. They walk with Him. They're obedient to Him. Thirdly, they're among all nations. He has a people in every tribe, kindred, nation, tongue, and under heaven. New creatures in Christ Jesus, Jew and Gentile, bond and free, male and female, among all nations. They're called of Christ Jesus, whom He foreknew, He predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. Whom He predestinated, He called. Whom He called, He justified. Whom He justified, He glorified. We're the called of God, called by His gospel. And then He says, they're beloved. God loves them. God loves His people. Beloved of God. I thank God for you, brethren. Beloved of the Lord. God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. And they're called to be saints. And they have grace and peace from our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you this, grace always comes before peace. People who have peace with God and peace in their hearts and peace with one another are people who know something about the grace of God and have been made recipients of the grace of God. God's preacher, a humble man, separated to the gospel. God's gospel, it's God's gospel. It's the ancient gospel. It's concerning His Son. And His Son is the Son of Man and the Son of God. And His people are a people beloved of God who have grace and mercy and peace through Christ Jesus. Would you like to have this message? To share it with someone else or to hear it again yourself, send $2 and we'll mail it to you. Here's the address on the screen. You write for it and we'll mail it to you. Called God's Preacher. Till next week, may God bless you.